Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. We're either moving with Him or He's moving without us. Sometimes people follow Him partially, but when we're moving with Him, greater things starts happening in our lives. A strong dedication is required to follow the Holy Spirit. It's very important that people listen to the guidance and cherish the guidance of God and not treat it lightly. The Lord monitors how people respond to the Holy Spirit. He positions people in the body of Christ according to how they respond to the Holy Spirit. Some people, the Lord call them to the ministry or give them an assignment, and they feel unworthy. They wonder, why would God choose me? But God sees the dedication they have to the Holy Spirit and His guidance, and they care about the things of God. And to others, they are not known to be as dedicated. People don't know what others know. You don't know what a person's thinking and how they feel about things and the strength of their heart. Those things are not detectable. It requires the guidance of God to detect people who cherish God. Some people they're loud in their voice. They have a loud voice. And they can be taken as being very dedicated, but that doesn't mean that they'll follow through with what God is doing. Many people are that way. They speak a good fight, but the Lord knows who will do His work and who will let it drop. It's a very serious matter. Hear me good. It's a serious matter how we respond to the Holy Spirit. The Lord doesn't give the Holy Spirit lightly. And it's important. He loves us. The knowledge that we receive from Him, if we don't cherish it, the enemy will use our lack of dedication against us as a weapon. Some people, they will sin because they are around darkness, and they agree with sin until the light is shown. When a spark of God's word is spoken, they are alerted to what's right, and they receive God's word. And they come to a point that they hate the things of sin. They don't want it in their life anymore. And they strongly cherish the Word of God. And now that they know, they don't want to go back. The man that wrote Amazing Grace, he agreed with sin. He was a slave captain, a slave boat captain, or a slave ship captain. And he learned about salvation. And he wrote Amazing Grace. It surprised him it amazed him that God would save a man. He said, a wretch like me. And it's the favorite song of many millions of people. See, God can take an act of repentance, and never underestimate what God can do in your life. The way you handle the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit can mean a great deal of difference to many millions of people throughout time. Remember, that song spread over the nations without internet, YouTube, or all the luxuries we have. And now, the Lord is using unnamed people, people that would be considered unskilled, that love and cherish the Holy Spirit, to speak volumes of words to people. They're not seduced by mainstream Christianity, which has become more or less a knockoff philosophy, powerless, heartless. But it's the fervent love of God that makes the difference always. Some people, they love God and they reject the darkness. And some preachers give in to darkness. They don't leave their post, but they've given in to darkness. They don't teach a restriction against darkness anymore because they can't, because they love it. Many have compromised. You know, that's why Paul said, you know, these days won't happen unless there's a falling away first. Some would say, well, is that apostasy or is that the rapture? Yes, it's both. Both. See, God doesn't want, he hates sin. There's no room for sin in his kingdom. He told me that one day. I was going to explain in another church, but the pastor and I didn't get to finish. He didn't let me finish that one. But you know, the Lord, there's no room for God, I mean, for sin in God's kingdom. None. The guidance of the Holy Spirit helps us unweave the spider's web and walk out of darkness. The logic of sin, it helps us to destroy the logic of sin within us. When you're saved, your spirit man is new, but we have to renew our minds, and the Holy Spirit will help us do it. And every time I learn something that would help me be free from sin, not that I was sinning, but in the back of your mind, those things, you don't know how to kill those thoughts and persuasions. And you war against it, always war against it, always war against it. We used to go to church and so we could help learn to war against it. I used to remember the choir songs so I could sing them to lift myself back up, because I didn't want the things of darkness in my life anymore. I left the world because I began to hate those things. But nobody was teaching how to kill every temptation that exists. And some are embarrassing. People don't want to admit that they even have crazy thoughts. Anger problems. But when I learned about the Holy Spirit and people that cherish the presence of God, I was around, for once, people that cherished the presence of God. And I was raised by people who love God. But I found out you can go in his presence. I didn't know that coming up. At your will. Because I didn't have faith for it, because nobody taught it that I knew. Or I didn't hear him say it. Nevertheless, when Greg Hosey would fast and pray and lead everybody into praise and worship, I learned to go in the Lord's presence on my own. And I would go to the church sometimes before service or after and just worship God. And then in his presence, one day I said, I want to live like this all the time. That was a concept to me, and I talk about it from time to time. And I asked the Lord, how do you do it? I didn't know. See, sometimes if you ask the Lord questions, you can learn. I wanted the presence of God with me always. And through the word, He didn't teach me. It took a while for him to get this one over to me, but I started standing on the word. That was a requirement. He started teaching me the word. That was a requirement. I had to learn some things. And then I had to speak the word. That releases the word in your life. Charles Capps. See, different ministers helped me with different elements. Kenneth Hagin taught us faith. Kenneth Copeland taught us measures and things of faith. But Charles Capps taught us how to release it, where you can get it, where you can use it, where you can shape your life and change the facts on the ground. Change the facts in your body, the facts in your thoughts. You can speak it. He said it won't happen just because you speak it, but speaking is involved with working out your salvation, basically. It's not so that you can be saved, it's so that you can conquer in life. We're saved by the blood of Christ and faith in his blood and his works. That's why we're saved. That's why we're righteous. But when you speak the word of God, you're enforcing what he's done for you in your life, at your will. And that to me was very valuable. So I sought the Lord about many things that I didn't know, many things that I wanted to know. And he always taught me. Now, he loves us and he cares about us. And every way, every part of our lives is important to God. And he watches out, he watches over us, he loves us. So many ministers were involved with helping me do God's word. I received from a variety of ministers at different ages, men, women of God. They were guided by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there were moments when they were guided by the Holy Spirit and I caught what they said. That doesn't mean that they were skilled in following God, because they said other things that were not a sign of following God, but there were moments when they did. And I still remember the moments, the things that were spoken by the anointing, that comes from the Holy Spirit. See, the anointing comes right out of the Holy Spirit. That he anoints us. Because of the anointing, we're in link with him. An understanding of the anointing is this. I asked the Lord his definition of the anointing. He said it's a sanction that gives a man or woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. People can operate by the anointing and do actions, healings, miracles, gifts of faith. It's not limited to that. It gets in your lifestyle, the way you live, the way you operate. The things he's given you to do, the assignments he releases to you to do and perform. When you're anointed to do it, the Lord will train you to operate in a way that you can operate, you know, handle the anointing. This is very important, because the temperance you'll need, the anointing will teach you the temperance so that you can mount up, so the anointing can mount up on your life. You have to have temperance, patience. There are elements that you'll need in order to carry the ultimate anointing that God is after for you to carry. It's a sanction. You're set apart for this. The will to do God's good pleasure is in it. The education is in it. And the education works before and after you do the works of the anointing. He teach you, in my life, he taught me enough to get started, and then he taught me more as I, he taught me things as I operated according to the anointing, and even after. So the anointing is not limited in any way, form, or fashion. And then it works. It nourishes others and helps them go forward. Now, it's a sanction that gives a man or woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Under the anointing, they're yielded to the Holy Spirit, and they spoke. People can be anointed and not yield to the Holy Spirit. They have the anointing, but it's inactive. It's not activated unless they yield to the Holy Spirit and speak his timely words when they're supposed to. When the people are there listening, yielding, they also turn on the anointing. It's like heavy equipment that has two keys, one for the operator and one for the receiver. When the operator is yielded to the Holy Spirit, the anointing is on, and it's activated. And as he's broadcasting it, he's doing the works in the sight of others. And then there are those who receive it. They turn it on also, and they benefit from it. They have ears to hear. People with ears to hear have turned on the anointings that are around them. They're calling for it. Hungry people that want to know God are calling for it. Proud people are resisting against it, and they hate it. Because when with the anointing, the glory of God is not far away from it. And when people are in God's presence, that darkness is revealed as it is. So they want to get away from that if they love the darkness, or they repent, or they fall out. They're overwhelmed. Everybody that's slain in the spirit, that's not why they always fall out. It's just overwhelming to be in the presence of God. But the angel told Daniel to be strong, and then he was able to stand. The angel strengthened him. We can be strengthened by the word of God at our will. The more of God's word we receive inside our hearts, and the more teachings from the anointings of others and the anointing that God put on us, we're able to be strong and stand in his presence and comprehend, and not just lay out on the floor, you know, like a dead man. We need the knowledge that God would give us from being in his presence. We need everything that Jesus said, man can't live by, don't live by word, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, this is the point I'm getting to. The facts that we need, the elements of life, the positions of God that's in the anointing of others, we all need to receive it. People are in different stages of their walk with God. Some people are in an adult stage where they are actively ministering. They have a calling. They've been sanctioned, set apart to do a specific thing. And they're able to get the job done, but there are pockets of problems in their life that's not resolved. And it's unnecessary that they're not resolved. There are anointed people, sometimes within their reach, that has the elements that they need. But in this world, people who minister, they look for greater ministers to minister to them. This is a form of pride. They only expect God to use greater ministers to minister to them. While God has anointed people all around that's not been sent out in ministry yet, but they're in their preparation, they're being trained. And in their training, they can be used of God to speak precisely what you need. They won't be able to do all the things. They may not be masters yet, but they can speak the elements that you need. See, I've been on both sides of this thing. I know what I'm talking about. When the Lord prepared me, I was unknown. I was a man of God. They didn't know my background. They didn't know my history. They didn't know what the Lord had been doing in the prayer room. They didn't know the conversations I had with the Lord. They probably said, well, he didn't even go to a college. They didn't expect to hear anything of God from me. Especially when I was younger. But Paul told Timothy, don't let people despise your youth. Go ahead and do the job that God gave you. Youth has nothing to do with it. Dedication does. And for years I was dedicated in the presence of the Lord, learning his ways, taking time and gaining understanding. But they didn't know that. So if I spoke a word, some people got offended against me. And they never heard what I was saying. But it could have made the difference. And the Lord put me in that position so I know what was happening. But God has people around us that are anointed. You just have to have ears to hear. And you'll activate their anointing. You have to be patient. You have to have a heart full of love to do this. Oh, I'm out of time. But the Lord is now here. Continue mighty to move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.